Hi, and welcome to the Virtual Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Ring, and I'm so glad you're here. In the Virtual Classroom, I invite virtual teachers from across the country to sit down and talk to all of us about what it's like to be a virtual teacher. It is my hope that through our conversations, we can educate, collaborate, and of course, connect to build a tribe of virtual teachers. Thanks again so much for being here. Today on the podcast, we have Tracy Fuller, and she is just full of wonderful ideas. I'm so excited about her sharing them with you today. She teaches fourth grade at Hill Point Virtual Charter Academy, but she's also a lead teacher. So I'm excited for you to not only get some of these amazing classroom engagement ideas and strategies and also resources, but also she shared a lot of ideas on what it takes to be a good teammate and efficient with your time and organizational skills. So I am pumped to share these with you because not only has she been my most recent inspiration on changing up my classroom and how I teach and just adding some simple things to make it a little more fun for and engaging for my students, but also she gave me an idea on how to better connect with my team, not just the fourth grade team, but the entire elementary. And furthermore, ideas that help us all stay more organized. So without further ado, here's Tracy.
Yes, my name is Tracy Fuller. I am currently at H of AM here in Michigan at teaching fourth grade, which I love. And I'm also the 3-5 lead teacher. But I have previous experience at another online school, and I did kindergarten and second grade at that time. I had 5 years in brick and mortar from anything from pre-K to 5, and I even did a little special ed long-term sub jobs. So I love teaching. It's my calling, and I love being online.
I know that you're really into classroom engagement and organization, teamwork, all that fun stuff. Yeah. And just wanted to kind of pass that over to you. I just recently did a podcast over engagement and kind of did my top strategies, but what would be your top strategies on helping kids stay engaged?
So I always describe my job as like a theater. I am the actor. So I feel like a ton of your energy is, you know, portrayed across that mic in your microphone and even in your, you know, video when you're using it. So I think that the biggest piece is energy. Your energy and enthusiasm for your job and your students, you know, then attract them to the excitement of the classroom. So I think that's gigantic. And then making it fun and engaging to me is my 3-5 team has actually been working on including games. So, you know, we moved to those 30-minute sessions, and some people were kind of worried about being able to fit all of the content in during that 30-minute session, but I really feel like we've been able to hone in and get a lot accomplished but put in these games. So some of the games that we have done have been Battleship, which the kids seem to love. That I think that's one of the most exciting ones, where kids are answering questions. So a lot of time I use it as review. And the one rule, I put rules to it because part of being in that classroom are learning social acceptable behaviors, just like in brick and mortar. So we practice our self-control. So one of the rules is you cannot put your answer in the chat or over the mic. And if you do, Mrs. Fuller gets to pull off a square and try to sink your ship. That gets the kids really riled up, and then somebody accidentally does it, like, oh, I'm going to pull it, you know, one of your squares off, and they're like, we're sinking. So they love that game. They really get into it. And then some other ones, the other one I just recently did was about a robot. And I've tried to do these ones where at the beginning of class, I have something that they sign up for. So when the robot takes over your classroom, I have a whole bunch of robot clip art I put on the first screen. And the job is when they come in to put their name on the robot they want to be. And some are super silly, and some are just casual characters. But most of the time, the kids want to pick those super silly characters, and then they want me to pick some outrageous one that I am. And one of my kids has a voice changer on his mind. This has been super fun. So I've actually added the robot game into his class connects more because I make him get on and read the directions, and it says like the robot has taken over your classroom. You guys have to go undercover as robots to win it back. And so the kids have had tons of fun with that. I really want to record that and send it out because it's pretty funny to
Please.
listen to.
Yes. Incredible. So,
Yeah.
yeah, tell me, so you said they sign up. Are they just signing up for to that particular robot and then the robot has a job? What are some of those jobs?
So they just randomly sign up for any robot they want. And then at the end, the robots come back and it's a picture and it says, "Congratulations, you won your room back." But what I changed it to is I have a heart, and the heart is like a lifeline. So it's a big heart and then it's a square. And then I have clip art of little hearts. So we go to our lesson, and this one I used in reading and math. So this week we did a read aloud. We read, I think it was Amelia Bedelia we listened to. And then I had comprehension questions. So every time somebody jumped on the mic and they answered and helped in that slide, and sometimes it might only be one kid, sometimes it might be two, then I flash back to the lifeline and say, I give the kids control and let them move the heart back to the lifeline. And so, if everyone jumps on their mic and participates and they get through class, then all the hearts are back, and congratulations, we're all human again, you won your room. And the
Oh my
kids
gosh, I
seem to,
love this.
yeah, the kids seem to enjoy it and jump on. And I think any of those little things just seem like they've really increased our participation and engagement. We're able to grab some of those kids that normally would sit there and we're like, "Are you alive on the other end? Is there a life out there?" And so some of those kids who normally wouldn't participate are really jumping in. We've done other things like a dinner party. We made a dinner party. So after every slide, as long as everyone's participated, which every time they somebody participates, right? There's hors d'oeuvre. And so they get to choose one, two, or three. And the kid gets control again and they get to pull the square off and they expose whatever your hors d'oeuvre is. And then they answer a math question and then, "Good job, you guys all participated. Let's choose our drink." And you randomly choose one person and they pull the square off and they decide. I think a major piece of that working is giving the kids the control to, choose which one they want and actually giving them the tools. I don't think it would be as exciting if I was removing it all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's also the surprise, like the element of surprise. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to be under that plate or on the plate or the drink or whatever. And the same thing with the robots. That element of surprise is, are they going to get the heart? Like, are they going to get to keep it in the lifeline? Are we going to turn our classroom back into humans? And
Very true.
then and the
Very true.
battleship as well, like, is she gonna sink my battleship, like, or are we gonna sink hers? So I think it's a common a con the it's a I can't speak right now, but
Combination.
yes, it's that of things. But I think it's just also that surprise and also just the simplicity of it. It's not something that's like too overcomplicated. It's something just fun, and every kid can relate with that, regardless of their ability. So that's
Yeah.
amazing.
Over the winter, I did one that I made that was a snowball fight. And so the opening screen is, "We're gonna have a snowball fight today. Who wants to hit Mrs. Fuller in the face? Give me a
Oh
green
my
check mark."
goodness, I love that.
So you grab
All
them
of
right
it.
from the beginning, like, "Oh, you hit the teacher in the face with a snowball. So that one is the same kind of thing. After every slide, I took a picture of me, and it's actually a silly picture. I was out in the blind. I don't hunt, but my boys hunt. So I was out with them in the blind, and I took a picture of me in my camo with this fuzzy hat. And it's just kind of a silly picture. So I put this picture on. And then over top of the picture, there's two pictures. One of the pictures has a snowball, and it looks like it's right in my face. And so if they participated afterwards, somebody gets to pull the square off to see if they hit me. And when they do, I'm like, oh no, you just hit me in the nose. My nose is so cold, you know? And then I just out of the blue added, I picked up a tissue, and it was like somebody put the answer in the chat. And so I said, oh, I'm throwing a snowball at you for putting the answer in the chat. And I picked up my tissue and I threw it at my webcam at them. And oh, they got a rile out of
I bet. Oh my gosh, this is, you got my brain just turning with the fact that like this could be literally anything. It doesn't have to be something like super over the top, like recreating the wheel or translating like the game of life over to a virtual realm. But it's just something as simple. I like the symbol of the dinner party, like just picking out a couple
Right.
things like that they, yeah, I love this. Absolutely love this. Tell me more. Tell me other your
So,
top bits.
one of the latest things that just came to me, I was sitting in before class. I pull up my morning and I get all my morning classes up and loaded and ready. And I was looking through it and I was like, man, this class just kind of seems boring. I was trying to assess them and where they were at the moment individually to make sure that they had mastered what we were covering so that I could move to the next topic. And I was just going to send them to a breakout room and have them work. But then it came to me, and seriously came to me like 5 minutes before class, to do what I'm calling a think and talk room. So when I started, the problem is on the board. And I feel like we don't give enough quiet time. I talk all the time. I tell my students, I cannot be quiet. Like, I need quiet time to think. Somebody else tell me, it's thinking time, Mrs. Lillard. So I told them, here's the problem. I'm going to set the timer for 3 minutes. There's no talking, there's no mic. You used your pencil and paper at home, and you're going to figure out the problem on your own. So when the timer goes off, I have it set so there's no chat, so it's only a private chat to me. If you know the answer, you can send me the answer. If they send me the answer and it's incorrect, I respond with feedback to try to get them to the answer. If they respond correctly, I responded and said, great job, you solved it. You can now log into your Stride and go work there. So then, after that 3 minutes, and they send me there is those who can respond, respond. So I said, if you cannot respond, you don't know, I want you to go to the think and talk room. So they move themselves to this room. The problem is on the board. They are allowed to talk to anybody in that room. They have tools. They can use their chat. They can write on the board together. And so that small group is able to talk and think through. And the group who was able to already master it got to move on to the next thing. They were working on their own individual work. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. I ended up being able to leave the kids in the main room going and working on their Stride, which would be appropriate for their level, right? Taking them to their next personal individual need. And I went to that breakout room, and it was beautiful to hear them talk about, well, why do you think it's here? And why do you think that? Well, I don't think that's right. And then they started to draw on the board. So then I was able to nurture some of that conversation, especially since it was the first time we ever did it, and said, well, have you talked to your partner about that? Or have you talked to your partner about that? Does anybody have a drawing on their paper of a model they could share? And after that, it slowly the kids were able to get the answer. So I said, private chat me your answer. Once they got it correct, I put them back in the main room and said, you're allowed to go work in Stride on your individual assignments. And it ended up being a small group of three eventually who just couldn't get it. And so I was able to intervene and have a 3-on-1 and draw models to get them to the answer. So I thought it was a really beautiful thing. It was a story problem and it required them to think outside the box. I didn't give them any hints or any answers or any prompting before, which I think is awesome because we want them to struggle to an extent, but not struggle so much that they shut down. So when they go to think and talk, you know, I have somebody to help me and help me get started. So I love that. Think and talk room.
Oh, no, I love all this. I love that. I love that what was happening was like every teacher's dream is kids absolutely just talking to each other about math or about reading, whatever. In this case, it was math. But that's my big dream is put my kids in groups. And maybe two is just not enough. Maybe a larger group would allow that conversation, not so much pressure. But yeah. I just love everything about this. And we'll definitely give it a go during one of my next small groups when I'm when I'm evaluating them. So this is just fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
One of the things I do put in, we do have math talks, but this one was just a little bit different where they were able to, you know, it let everybody work on their own level, you know. And when I do those math talks, there's this little poster and it said like topics that are sentence starters for them. So I agree with you or I disagree or I agree, but, you know, little sentence starters to get them going on what could you talk to your partner about or the some of the sentences say I noticed or I observed. So I think those are helpful. I've even done those in writing, just little sentence starters to get them going.
I agree. I mean, those help me too. They help me get my brain going. And so, yeah, they are definitely helpful. I've used those a few times in my class connects, but I'm noticing it's just hard to get them talking, period. So, I teach a homeroom. So I have the same kids all day long and I love that. I absolutely love that. I see, and we kind of like you, we have 30-minute classes. So I teach like three small groups and then a whole group and for both math and reading. And so those kids that I'm seeing for reading are also the kids I'm seeing for math. Anyway, my point is that they still know each other. Like they're seeing each other too. Like, so the fact that they're not talking to each other, like what's going on? Like, so I love the sentence starters and I'm thinking about maybe a larger small group. Like instead of just two, maybe three or four. And maybe that will take the pressure off so much of like, oh my gosh, I have to talk, but there's someone that probably will want to talk and that will get them going. So
And of course you always have a couple of kids who are, you know, you're wondering if there's a heartbeat on the other end, but you know, I always start my year off and I sing to them if they don't get on. And so it's
oh my gosh, you're a total orange. This is what I do too. Like if they don't respond, I'm like Tracy, where are you? Like
I do oompa loompa. I do oompa loompa oompity oomp. Where is Kim? I'm looking for you.
Oh my god, I love it. I'm adding that to my song list.
And the kids crack up and then they get to the point where they really start getting in the chat. We want to hear from you. Where are you? You know, and I think a key to that too is wait time. Wait time is always hard for us. I think it's a bigger struggle online for whatever reason. We don't like that quiet. We're not sure what's happening on the other end when it's quiet. And so I really think giving them enough time to get there and maybe sometimes feel the pressure to get on.
So, yeah. So I have no problem with wait time, but I know this is a struggle for many. So what would be your advice on helping teachers ensure that they do provide that wait time?
For me, when I first started out with the wait time and I didn't think, you know, I wanted to be more aware. I used this GIF and the GIF is a little guy in it. Says thinking cap. And so his little head sparkles up. And I would put it on the slide to remind myself, be quiet, give those kids thinking time. And I trained my students, this is thinking time. You see this icon on the screen. This means during this time that Mrs. Fuller has 1 minute, 3 minutes on the timer, there's no chat and there's no mic. So another thing of social behavior, right? Learning self-control, expectations, and being able to do that with a classroom. And so that's where I started out with it. And then I think I just become more and more accustomed to it because I made myself with that little icon. It reminded me. And then I set the timer. Be quiet, Mrs. Fuller.
I love that. I feel like we should be on the same team.
Are we soul sisters?
I think so. That's how, yeah. Is that too soon to say that? Because I also use a bunch of symbols, and yes, they do help the students, but I'm like, these are really for me to remind me to let them to turn on their mics or let them talk in the chat box or whatever I had in my initial plan. And then I forget when it comes time to actually teach it. Feeling that pressure of the quiet, the silence was really hard in the beginning because in a traditional classroom, you would still feed off their body language. You would see their frustration and be like, okay, I need to intervene here. Or are they working? Are their heads down and they're working on their paper? Like that thing time was real simple in a traditional classroom. And we don't have that here. But I'm looking forward to next year when we have new row and we can see 25 kids all at one time. Yeah, so really, really excited about that because I think that'll bring some of that back and maybe think too. Time won't be such of a challenge because we'll be able to actually see our kids. So, but
I agree.
But I love this GIF idea of the thinking cap. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, you know, I do that on, it was way back, you know, when we had I've been teaching online for 7 years. And so back at some point there in the beginning, we had Teach Like a Champion really hard. And I used these icons or GIFs as reminders of where I wanted to do those Teaching Like a Champion. And so I still use them. So in the very beginning, when you have your entry routine, it says entry routine, and it tells the kids what they're going to do. It says, log in is your student name. Check your mic, number two. Number three is whatever their warm-up
might
be. Oh my
gosh, yes, we still have. I've been here for, this is the end of my fifth year, so I remember Teach Like a Champion. And I also remember the Oscars, like the, do you remember those? The you know, how do you not?
I don't know, what were the Oscars? Like,
it's O-S-A-K... I forget what it is, but they're K-12 awards. Like you literally had to like send in your recordings and you got a reward, an award. And they were just these silly binders. So after like entering, if you won one, you're like, oh man, it's a one and done. I really wanted like a Dundee award, but that wasn't an option. But I miss those. I miss the like competitiveness of wanting to be the best. But I also love learning from the other teachers who like beat me.
So, for sure.
I love watching their videos and learning from them. So,
yeah. But well, and I try to put that competitiveness in my classroom too. I love to be competitive. It's fun. And so that's where those games come in too. You know, I catch those kids with the competitiveness.
I love that. Yeah. Cause I'm super competitive, but I've never thought about competing against my kids. And this is kind of eye-opening for me to maybe come up with a game where they have to like I'm the robot and they need to take over or you know change me back to a human because
Well and I think they bond a little bit from it too, right? They're all on one team, they're working together, they're I do this, I think lots of people do with the classroom participant or classroom contributor and then the classroom captain. You do those?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And yeah. So I think that it promotes them to be a classroom captain because that's when they're asking their teammates, you know, jump on the mic, help me out, or I need to phone a friend. Or I think that that competitiveness, those games encourage that camaraderie, that bond that they need and to be the classroom captain.
I think they're teaching so many lessons through these games that we might be missing out on as other teachers who are not using these games. And maybe that's why they're so comfortable talking to each other is because you're fostering that through games all the time. And so, yeah, this is really blowing my mind a little bit. So, and I'm excited to try this. I've played some games in the past, but I don't think enough to really foster everything you're accomplishing here. So
Yeah, that's kind of what our team has had a lot of discussions and sharing. And, I love Promising Practice, favorite place. And there are, wonderful teachers. They are sharing games and different ideas. And so I love that we've taken a few of those things and adapted them and changed them. And it was one of our, goals this year to get kids more interactive. And we tried these games and we're like, wow, these are really working. And so it's been a consistent thing. We are trying not to do too many that is like everything is a game, but I try to do either math or reading are a game. And sometimes both, some days are both.
So yeah, so that's a good question to ask. Do you do like, so is this almost like a daily thing, but just one or the other? So like math is a game and reading's not, or is it like a
Yeah,
once a
I don't
week?
put
How
much
often do
thought
you do this?
into it. Like, I do it a lot. Pretty much every week. Somewhere in there throughout the week, I have a game. This week, we played basketball. And so that was our review. And then that was in math for 2 days. I carried it into 2 days. And then there was the robot was 2 days for reading. So it wasn't every single day, but it was every week, multiple times a week it is.
I've noticed that I have these kids who come, it seems like once a, at more often, they're not required to come as often as some of my other kids. But I noticed that when I started doing, like one day we did just a themed, we did a themed game. It wasn't full out game, but we did a themed game of Wheel of Fortune. I've noticed that they've been coming more often, I think in just anticipation that I'm going to change it up, like, or do something kind of like that. So,
That's a
yeah,
good
so
point.
they're only required to come, like I have one kid who's like extremely advanced, so she only has to come to my whole group once a week, and she's been coming like two or three times a week now. So
Oh, because
like
she wants
that's
to do it.
neat. That's really cool. So I think if I do this more, she's gonna come even more often. And that's really my struggle is with those higher level kids. They're not growing as much as much. I mean, it makes sense. They don't have as many achievement gaps, but I want them to grow just as much as my other kids. So, and I feel like maybe coming to more classes will help with that. I don't know, but either way.
Well, and that's one way I think that think and talk works, right? Everybody's on their own level, and the kids who are excelling get to go to stride. I don't know how you guys do stride, but ours is leveled. And the other thing, sometimes I send them to Prodigy, sometimes I send them to some other online game as their reward. So they're all working at their own individual level.
Absolutely. I love that. And then I know that you are also really like an expert at organization and teamwork. And sometimes teamwork can be super hard in our environment. Do you have any advice for that?
I think my favorite phrase is use it or lose it. We share a ton on my team. And I think in the past, sometimes maybe I might have encountered someone who came off a little strong that made me feel like I had to do what they were doing. And I think when I put in there, use it or lose it, gives them the freedom of take it and change it and make it yours. And I think all of us have to be open to the idea that what's amazing about teaching is we are all individual. Right? Just like our students, we're all individual and we all teach in a different way. And each one of us can touch different kids at different times. So I love the creativity and the individual and respecting that individualism and what each individual teammate might need out of you is important. Being sensitive to that, right?
I totally agree with you. As awesome as I think I am, I have these two kids who are just not coming to, they're not coming to my class. They're coming to our interventionals classes, which is great. I'm not, I tell them that like I'm getting jealous, but it's in like a fun, spirited kind of way. But they're still not coming as often to me as they are to her. And so there's a part of me that's like, how about you just take both, like, so one comes to reading and then they come to me for math or vice versa. I'm like, why? I'm about to just say, how about you just do both? Like, how about you just go to both? Because you're obviously resonating with her. And so there's something about her that they're
Right.
connecting with, and it's not me, and I'm not too prideful anymore to say.
I know, right? I think, but doesn't it take maturity for us as teachers to be able to say that? Like,
Oh yeah. Like when I first started, that would have really hurt my feelings. Like I would have taken it on a personal level, but now I'm just like, you know, I know I'm a human. I'm not going to connect with everybody as much as I want to, but they're obviously connecting to her in a way that they're not with me. And I want to foster that more. And so,
right now
they're not coming to see me.
That's what's important about me.
Sorry, go ahead.
Right. And that's what's important about being a teammate is, you know, encouraging each other and supporting each other. Like you are supporting the other, you know, you're amazing. Keep going, take them, you know? And so whenever I have good ideas, I share them. It's not a secret. You know, we have a school Facebook page. And so when I came up with the Think and Talk, I took a little snippet and I shared it with everybody on Facebook. And that gets people talking. It gets people, you know, feeling comfortable with you with sharing things. They don't take it offensive when you share stuff with them. You're like, oh, they share with everybody. And we have a 3-5 Google Drive we use, and we just put some of our fun things that we find in there, like our games, so that everybody has an easy access to them. And if I make a new game, I always send the link to my teammates and say, hey, use it or lose it. And they do the same for me too. I have an amazing team.
What have you ever had a teammate where you kind of just struggled to connect with? If so, how did that work out? How did you handle that? What advice would you have to anyone who is struggling to like connect with their teammates?
One year, of course, as a teacher, you have to move around, right? You got to do what they tell you to do where they need you the most. And I had to change a team and I cried. I was like, I don't want to leave my team. we were so bonded and connected. And one of my past teammates, she was so smart. She had years on me. She was a good veteran teacher. And she's like, remember, every time you join a team, there is time. You have to, you know, give it time to bond, give each other grace that, you know, we have to figure out our spot and who we are and how to work together. We're a family and we've got to respect those differences from each other and you just figure it out, right? Like I have had head on with teammates before, but I always try to remember, you know why we do that? Because we're passionate. And I love my teammate because they are so passionate about their job and they care so much about their students. They are maybe more vocal than I thought they should be, or they came off a little more bossy, but their heart was in the right place, you know? And I'm sure I have done that. And so I asked for, please give me grace. I know no way am I perfect at all. Please give me grace. And now I am passionate. You know, I love my job and we're just all trying to do the very best we can. So I think grace and sometimes space. Sometimes we're forced to work together on projects and maybe just walking away and taking a little break is the best thing for each other to come back with a fresh mind. And then letting go. Let it go, right? It's not worth dragging something up that happened last week. Yeah, you know, we're just doing it because we love each other. We're passionate. We're extremely into what we're doing. And so what happened one day, let it go. Don't bring it back up. Grace. That's my favorite word. Give grace.
I love that you're also presuming positive intent. Like even when people are doing things that you think might be like, ooh, that might be a little too bossy or ooh, that might, but you're presuming that the reason they're doing it is because they are just passionate about what they do. And in time, absolutely. I feel like I've been on a different team every single year since being here. And this team that I have now, I feel like we really resonate with each other. We really connect and we're all so go with the flow. And I'm worried about my future. Like knowing that my teams have always been different, I'm worried about next year. But I think that's really sound advice is that being graceful and offering grace and presuming positive intent is amazing as well, because in our world, we're not on the other side of their screen. Just like we can't see our kids, we can't see each other. And I think that unknown is scary sometimes. So allowing them to have their space and letting almost them do them and, or, you know, and is really can be powerful for a new team, a new teammates, especially as new teachers are coming in all the time. It's really exciting, the world we live in. So
I know. Well, you know, and that's getting, I've always gotten to know my teammates. Like, I think getting to know them on a personal level, to get to know what ticks with them, you know, what works for them, and where could you be a help to them, and where do you need to take advice from them? Being supportive even in personal life, because, you know, as much as we want to leave it at the door every day when we come to work, sometimes what's happening at home might be a burden on our hearts, you know. And so when you can get to know those teammates and offer the support on a personal note, that also helps you to bond, and that bond ends up giving you grace for each other. You have more acceptance and easier going for each other.
Absolutely. And I think like you, I'm an open book. And so, and I just, to foster those kinds of conversations, I start those conversations. So, but for someone who might be afraid to start that kind of conversation, or I don't know. What advice would you have for them if no one on their team is like you or me and fostering, like, just being open and honest with them?
Keep trying, right? Don't give up. Keep showing compassion for people and asking them how things were. You know, how was your weekend? I do things for my team as the lead. You know, I send good morning, good Monday morning emojis through text. And so sometimes text is a little less formal, right, for work, and it's more of a personal space. And then I'll send, a picture of my beautiful grandbaby playing or something. So just putting it out there that you're open and you're human and things are happening for you and you're willing to be a friend and supportive. I think those text messages have been the best way. I love the team I have. I have loved every single team. I have been very fortunate, I have to say, very fortunate, but I do love my current team, and I have always somehow been able to bond, even though we're all different, right? Every single team is different. Somehow been able to bond on that personal level, and I really feel like it makes a difference somehow when you're able to offer compassion to somebody and reach out, you know, when somebody's having a hard time and, you know, maybe grandma's dying and you can reach out and say, hey, I have a math lesson you could use. Could this help you out and lift a little bit off your workload? You know, that makes a difference for somebody.
Absolutely. And that's where my team is at, but I don't feel like I'm with that, because I don't know the whole school. And that's, I mean, this podcast, why this podcast is kind of was created, is because I want to feel more of a connection with other teachers and from near and far. And, but that text message idea is, that's powerful. That's something I could start today. Like, it's just, happy Monday, you know, like hope it went well. So I love that idea. So thank you so much for sharing that. And then I know one last thing that you're pretty passionate about is organization, but I don't. So I'm looking at my desk right now, and it's somewhere in between. It needs to be cleaned up and it needs to be picked up, but it definitely has some organization here. For veteran teachers and new teachers, what advice would you have for them?
I live by Outlook. I don't know about you, but Outlook is my best friend. And if it is not in Outlook, I send an email to someone. Was it in my Outlook? Could you please put that in Outlook? Outlook keeps me organized and where I need to be and what I need to do. I even put every single class in. I put my lunch in, because if I don't put lunch, I forget to run downstairs and grab it. And then by the end of the day, I don't feel good. So every little thing goes into my Outlook. I also have on Mondays at the very beginning, I do it for my whole team. It says 3-5 important links. So we always get lots of links to, you know, documents that need to be filled out and attendance and whatnot. And so all these links go in that Monday reminder, and it doesn't go off. It doesn't have, you know, a ding to it or come up on my screen. It's there. It's marked as free time, but it's just a place that I can quick go back and reference. What was I supposed to do when I need to withdraw that student, or what was the, you know, link that I need to put for the most tracker. So Outlook is a huge help to me. And I think my teammates know that if it's not on Outlook, Tracy forgets. and I am, even go to the extent that I color code it. Every class has its own color. Every meeting is yellow. And I put, you know, even in my appointments in there so that I know when I'm out, my friends know when I'm, you know, my team, I call my friends, my teammates know when I'm out. So Outlook is my best friend. I keep that organized. I archive a lot of, you know, emails to be able to important things so I can go back to them. If folders in there, you know, one is the ambassador folder. So anything that I get that is about being an ambassador goes in that folder. Another one is, you know, one of my teammates and it's her name. So anything good she gives me goes in that folder. So I think Outlook is a huge tool. And I could probably even use it more if I would take more time, but I'm not sure, like, I know there's a task thing on there and I've tried it, but I'm still glued to the to-do list and needing to write it down and cross it off and use pretty paper. So I have a clipboard and I go to TJ Maxx, my favorite store in the whole world, and I buy pretty notebook paper to make my to-do list. And so, you know, urgent things get a star and things that I just want to hang on to are kind of at the bottom. And then every couple of days, usually, because my to-do list is pretty long and keeps adding, I rip it off and start a new one. Sometimes I make it color-coded just because it's fun, and I don't know what that is about color coding, and I enjoy that.
I mean, Tracy, I feel like we really are best friends or sisters from, like, because I'm like you. I feel like if I'm constantly, we have a calendar here at school on Outlook that I use all the time, like you. But then I have a family calendar that my husband and I put stuff in all the time. And I'm like, if it's not in the calendar, it's not happening. It's just not. If it's not there, it's not happening. And yes, all my classes are color-coded. I even, like,
I love you.
For my son, to go pick up my son. So I don't have a lunch, but I have a pick-up Dustin, like, to remind me to go pick him up, because otherwise I will just get lost in whatever I'm doing. And yeah, that ding. I love your idea of the reminder links. I'll need to pick your brain on that. And I got the most tool and, like, withdrawal, but this is stuff that I need and I could at least do for my own team. So, but that's a really awesome, because that's stuff that we're asking each other all the time. We're asking each other, like, at least once a week, one of these questions. And so that would be really, really helpful for all of us is to have that. I love that. So what are some other things that are in there that you can just quickly think of that maybe people are constantly asking about?
That are in there, I put, let's see, if there's things that come up that we're required to do under anything that's required to do on a regular basis. So expense reports, I put in the link for that, and then any details that I just sometimes copy and paste exactly what, you know, our ops lady gave us. I just paste it in there. So the link is in there and the directions, quick spot to check. When I have tests, we have testing coming. And so I put testing updates. And so there's a little spot that has the folder, the SP folder for testing, and the links for any of the things that you're required to do during that time, like checking in and your e-direct and whatnot.
I love all of that. I'm like the designated person that does calendar, like if they give us something in an email but not a calendar invite, I just convert it into a calendar invite, because I'm like, why isn't this just a calendar invite to begin with? Like,
I agree. I do that all the time. Anything that emails comes through and it has a due date, it goes into an Outlook appointment for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Why did it not just begin as a Outlook appointment? I don't understand it, but I'm not in charge. So.
Right. Like, I agree.
Do what, but that's my, like, that's what I do for the entire school, because it's already sent to the entire school. So I just, if they want it, they can have it. If they don't, you know, use it or lose it. And, but that's, this is sound advice. And I love that. I think that some, and The only thing that I think is just kind of confusing that I'd love to make easy is the archive and sending it. I've tried to teach people how to make rules and going into the archive, but I think that's something that just comes later. But I've always thought that would be really helpful for new teachers to get down, like from the get-go, is having a folder set up for their principal, and every email they get from their principal is just automatically copied into that. So
yeah,
that way if they accidentally delete it, they can find it.
I have a folder for all my mentees, and in that folder has a list of, like, I just add tips to it all the time in this Excel doc. And part of it is the rules. They, you know, it's hard to remember how to do that every time. So I have a YouTube video that somebody else made, and I paste it in there. So then my mentees can go back and look every time they need to. What was that rule? How did you do that?
I love that too. So, I mean, we have this QRG folder in SharePoint, but it's impossible to find. So having this like Excel link, like possibly Google. In like a Google, it's and Google. Having that in the reminder link yes. thing for out on yes. your Outlook, that was just brilliant. This is brilliant. Thank you so much for opening my brain to all of these things. I'm definitely going to apply these at least to my fourth grade team, if not the whole school. So, but you've just really opened my world to that. Wow. And I feel like I always say that after every conversation, but truly, that's how I feel. I'm always so inspired and so motivated after talking to these teachers. And after listening to them again, because I'm so thankful that I get to listen to these conversations more than once. So I get to learn things that I missed the first time during the conversation, or I get to reflect more on them. So I'm thankful that I get to do that, but also you have that opportunity as well. So with that, with this conversation, the very next day, I implemented the game idea. I didn't have the resources like I do now, so I'm excited to share those in the description of this podcast. But I thought, how could I make my Minecraft template more of a game? I thought, oh, you know what? How about just throwing some creepers on there? And I Googled Minecraft creepers clip art and found some that looked like they were busting out of a screen. It was beautiful. So I just added three of those, and I thought, what are my kids going to do with them? How are they going to get them out of here? And I thought, well, we're just going to punch them. So I found a clip art of just a fist, like the front of a fist looked like it was punching, and had that movable so my kids could just move the punch over their face and punch them out. And then I wanted to take it another step. I remembered my Manicam, and I had a green screen. I remembered also on Manicam there's some like effects, and there was actually a Minecraft creeper like zombie. So I put him in the corner of my green screen, and as we went through the lesson, he got bigger and bigger. So they had to hurry to save me from being touched by this zombie creeper. They absolutely went crazy for it. They were more engaged in our lesson. They were wanting to read more during our oral reading fluency. They were just on it. And I didn't change the content. I didn't change anything but add a slide and found an effect on Manicam. That's all I did. And my engagement went through the roof. It was incredible. So thank you, Tracy, for that. And then also that night, I went in and made a calendar invite of the reminder links. And my school thanked me. I got several personal emails and just some links thanking me for that. And it's helped me. I refer to it every week now. So thank you, Tracy, for that, because that's made my life easier, and I'm sure my team's life easier as well. I'm so thankful for this conversation, but it's just the beginning of the conversation. It's not the end. It's now time for you. We want you involved in this conversation. Because this podcast isn't about just inspiring you. It's about building connections. It's about collaborating together. So again, this is not the end of the conversation. This isn't even the middle. This is the beginning. So head on over to our social media, like Instagram or Facebook or our Facebook group, the VT Lounge, and share your ideas, your inspiration on how you can make your classes more engaging because of this conversation. What tricks do you have that helps your team or you be more efficient with your time and staying organized? We want to know, because truly we all want to be the best virtual teachers we can possibly be so we can reach more kids, right? I mean, that's why I'm here. So head on over. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. So thank you so much for listening. As always, remember to be brave, take a risk, but most of all, have fun.